Hello, and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler. Well, it looks like our new manager has arrived in Wolverhampton and will be unveiled in the next couple of days. So here's wishing him the best of luck, and hopefully we'll be all there at the start of the season to give him a big Wolves welcome and let him know that we're all behind him and wishing the best. I'd also like to thank Alan Perrins and all those involved in Worldwide Wolves for the award of Clubman of the Year. Just again, can't wait to get over to Molineux to meet everyone, start the new season. Anyway, today's guest is Damien Phelan. Damien was involved in the original Irish Wolves Supporters Club back in the early 90s, and Damien's going to tell me all that he was involved in and all the games and stories he has from his time involved with the club. Hope you enjoy it. Damien, you were involved with the Irish Wolves Supporters Club in the 1990s when it was set up, yeah?
Yeah, what actually happened was David put the ad in the Evening Herald, and I turned up for the third meeting. I wasn't there for the initial one, and they'd already gone to the Portsmouth game.
Yeah. So, Damien, you took on the job of contacting Wolves and about tickets and all that sort of stuff, yeah?
So, and we're talking before email, and we're talking before
texts and mobiles,
social media or any of that stuff. Yeah. You know, everything has to be done over the phone.
Yeah.
So I took it on and said that I'd do it. And it wasn't an easy thing to do because Wolves at the time were really kind of focused on their catchment area.
Yeah.
And not further afield at all.
Yeah.
So trying to get heard was quite difficult, and you'd be quite persistent with it and polite. We would have dealt with Gary Lever on the tickets and a guy called David Clayton, who later left for Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
And we got tickets that way through them. But the problem then was that when anybody left Wolves themselves, there's no continuity or handover. So you had to make personal relationships with whoever was there at the time. But like, guys who left the club wouldn't have said to the people that came after them, oh, look, here's a layout of the supporters' clubs around the place.
Yeah.
This is the guys you deal with, and these are the strengths and weaknesses. And the Scandinavian Wolves fellas in particular used to bring loads of people over.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have been turning around saying, look after these guys, because they bring people over.
Yeah.
They bought merchandise out of the club shop or whatever, you know.
Yeah. So maybe were they leaving under bad circumstances, maybe, so they weren't interested in passing
one
on?
One of them was, yeah.
Mm, yeah.
One of them did.
We won't go into it.
No, absolutely not. It was to do with payments for tickets. I'll just leave that there.
Right.
The other guy, David Clayton, then he went to Nottingham Forest, which would have been a promotion at the time,
yeah,
in terms of their profile and ours.
Yeah.
But again, there was no real handover, so his successor, you would have had to start from ground zero and start all over again. There was no continuity with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to ask you a favour, actually, while we're doing this.
Yeah.
And we're just curious about doing something. I'd be interested for your podcast, if you wanted to do an interview and whoever's doing the job now and drawing a comparison between the two, what it was like then and what it was like now.
Yeah, that'll be good. Yeah, that'll be a good idea.
Just kind of say, how did you find it? Well, I find that this happens. Jesus, in my time, it was different. And that would a comparison of what it was like and what expectations were there.
Yeah.
Professional now.
Yeah. Oh, it is. I do most of the ticket end of things and that myself, in contact with the club and that. So, well, that's actually, they had a memorial service there recently for members of clubs who have passed away in the last year. So I sent over photographs and that, you know, that sort of stuff of the three guys who passed away, you know, Ernie, Mick Cotter, and there's another guy from Ballyferma, Paddy Keneally. He'd been a member over the years. But so the three of them, three passed away. So, like, I sent stuff over. The club were looking for it. So we sent stuff over to them, photographs and that name. So, and then the ticket end of things, like, that's when things are up and running, if they ever get back up running properly again, it's a full time job nearly, you know. The contact is great, but because, you know, Premier League, it's a different ball game, literally, and, you know, there's so many demands on tickets that you really have to have some sort of foot in the door to be looked after, you know. So, and they're more eager now to actually get with Worldwide Wolves. They're more eager now anyway to get clubs, supporters clubs on board, and to, like, they have a huge number of overseas supporters clubs now as well that they recognise, you know, so that's all good. No.
It was very different now when I was doing it myself. Like it was a real struggle, to be honest.
Yeah, but on the club itself, like you would have organised trips over to games and events. I know Dave mentioned about the Steve Bull testimonial that you got an invite to.
We paid for two tickets to go over to that. All right. And that was enjoyable, and I ended up sitting at the players' table. That's where they put me, funnily enough.
Yeah.
And I ended up having a good chat with Don Goodman, who was a very funny guy and very affable and the rest of it. I was just mortified sitting there because I was really embarrassed, because you're watching these guys play football every week and you're not really part of their world, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have known a lot about them. But Don Goodman put me in my ease and we sat down, we chatted away. The funny thing I remember about that most of all, believe it or not, and this might surprise you, was that Graham Turner was at it.
Yeah.
And they said to him, well, why don't you go out before the Santos game, who were the team they were playing for?
Yeah.
Why don't you go out and we present you to the fans? And he said he didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And somebody said to him, why is that? Oh, they're only going to boo me.
Yeah.
Yeah, genuinely. He thought that because... he had got the team into the championship as it is now, but he hadn't been able to progress the team into the playoffs or into get promotion.
Yeah.
And it was a heave to get him out then from the fan side.
Yeah.
After a few seasons of stagnation, if you like. And he was afraid that if he walked out, they were going to boo him.
That's it. God, that's interesting. And
they brought him out and everybody cheered and all and clapped and stood up and everything.
Yeah.
And he came back in astonished.
Yeah, well, that was good.
He didn't realise himself the gratitude of the fans to him for all he'd achieved and done.
That was very good.
He'd resurrected the club and yet, as I say, he was terrified they were going to boom when he walked out. And I was stunned like watching it.
Yeah,
I mean, I was watching it from afar, but I found that pretty surprising, to be honest.
Yeah.
And regarding trips to games, the thing you remember are the friendships you made.
Yeah.
And in particular, Mick McQuillan, like, I mean, everybody knows Mick. He's a card, like, he's a lovely, lovely man.
Yeah.
Very sincere and a great pal to have.
Yeah.
But great crack when you travel with him.
Oh, yeah.
Fun, you know? Then all the slagging we used to give each other all the time, like the Paul Malloy, the Northern fella.
Yeah.
Every time we went into a pub, we used to refer to, hey, Semtex, get a beer, you know? You can't be doing that. And the more he protests, the more we do it. Like, and this is in the 90s, like, and things were only beginning to settle down in Northern Ireland. But, and Paul took the slagging with good grace and all the rest of it. But the banter was fabulous, like, that crack we had and all the rest of it. And the other thing I remember is one thing that I used to try and do myself was get in touch with the players who would have got me into the Wolves team. Initially.
Yeah.
So what I'm talking about is John Richardson, Derek Dugan, and we got them down to the hotel.
Yeah.
And they sat in with the lads and spoke to them for an hour and asked questions and all that, the rest of it.
Brilliant.
Well, we asked them questions. And Derek Dugan, I remember, also signed absolutely everything that everybody wanted. And, I mean, he sat there for the best part of an hour just signing shirts and signing programmes and any amount of photographs the lads wanted or anything. And I loved that. Because these were the guys, in my mind, that had got me into being a Wolves supporter.
Yeah.
You know, and I actually had more enjoyment meeting them than I did the current squad of that time.
Yeah.
Because these were the guys that, as a wide-eyed kid in Ireland, I used to sit down and watch games on the telly and watch the big match and the rest of it. And these were the guys that had ignited my interest in being a Wolves supporter.
Yeah, and that would have been one of my questions was, how did you actually discover the old Wolverhampton Wanderers?
Oh, that's a simple question to ask. But just one other thing very quickly. We'd also got Glenn Crowe down and Dom Foley. So we used to get the Irish players in the team to come down and meet the lads and sit down and chat away to them about what it was like being an Irish fella playing for the Wolves team.
Yeah.
And see, at the time, you had to stay overnight in Wolverhampton. Because you couldn't get a flight in and out on the same day.
Yeah.
So we used to stay in a place called the Connacht Hotel on the Tettenhall Road.
Yeah.
And that's how we got players to come down and meet us.
I've heard of it, yeah. Yeah.
And sit down and have a good chat. Another thing I remember before I move on to your next question about becoming a Wolves supporter was we went to, myself, Mick and Dave went to see Sheffield Wednesday, and Mick brought the car over and he drove all the way up, but we stopped in Derby just to sit down and get something, a few refreshments, you know?
Yeah.
I won't say what they were.
leave something to my imagination, yeah.
We're all sitting there just having a few beers in a pub in Derby, and next thing the windows start coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were some Notts Forest fans going past. And they got bottles and just knocked in all the windows of the pub.
Gee.
Every single one of them. And we were sitting there and we were near the window. And then we said, to hell with this. And we sat in the middle of the floor and finished our pints, you know. Nobody was going to put it
up. Has to be done. It has to be done, yeah.
You can't let the side down, can you, you know?
No.
I ordered another one after it. Now, it was nice getting the old air, fresh air conditioning, like, you know.
It just put a picture in my head of, you know, the window starts smashing and you're putting your hands over your points so that no glass gets in them, you know. You're not worried about yourself, yeah. Natural Irish instinct.
You did ask me what got me into becoming a Wolves supporter. And it's simple. When I was a kid, I don't know whether you remember this far back, I'm 54 myself.
Oh, jeez, I'm further back myself.
Texaco brought out these cardboard sheets, and on it you put down all the logos of all the teams across England.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was collecting, trying to finish my board, you know. Yeah. And it was the most prominent teams in the English, Welsh and Scots teams. Yeah. I can't remember there were any Northern Irish ones. But certainly there was Welsh teams, there was Scots teams, and there was English teams.
Yeah.
And the Wolves one was a Wolves head with a W where the teeth were.
Yeah.
And I remember looking and saying, Jesus, a really cool logo. I wonder who the hell these are. Like.
Yeah.
And that's what got me into being a Wolves supporter, believe it or not. It's a logo. A curiosity. Now, they could have been a fourth division team for all I knew looking at this.
Yeah.
But that's what got me started. And the team at that time with McAleog and Dugan and Richards and Frank Munro and all these fellas, like, I just idolised that team.
Yeah.
And I've gone round and met a good few of them in my own time when we were in the 90s. I met Dave Wagstaff.
Yeah.
I met Phil Parks, I met Frank Munro, loads of them. And these were guys that got me into that team. And I was just fascinated to sit down and talk to them about something that I was watching from afar.
Ah, that's it's brilliant, because all those guys, I never got to meet any of them really, but they would have been the guys that I first got attached to when I was watching Wolves as a kid, like, you know, like Dugan and Richards and those guys.
I found it fascinating, if you don't mind me saying, listening to the podcasts where they were going on, where they had all these fellas in, they were going through their careers. You know, like they got John Richards in and talking about about his time with Wolves and all that. Like,
yeah.
And it was a pity when the COVID stuff that they stopped it. There was some really interesting stuff in that.
Yeah. Yeah. But what, Damien, what was actually the first game? I know you were saying when the lads went over to the Portsmouth game, you weren't involved with that one. But what was the first game you actually went at Molyneux?
I can't actually remember, believe it or not. And genuinely, I can't remember. The thing that I remember most is some of the games, certainly, but the crack and the slagging and the banter and all that, you know? I mean, you couldn't go anywhere with McQuillan without being entertained, like, let's be honest.
I know. He still performs to a very high level. I think it's high level, is it? But,
I have loads of time for Mick. I always did, you know? He's a great guy.
Yeah. He's dead sound. He's not even, we can't give him too much praise, Damien, or, you know, it'll go to his head, you know. He's great. He's good.
He had a question down there, our player of the season. Yeah, we had Dave Kelly and we had Dean Richards.
Yeah, I knew about Kelly, Dean, yeah.
When he was on Ireland duty and gave him the prize, and he was really nice and chatty and shook hands and all the rest of it, posed for pictures. He was a lovely guy.
Yeah.
And we went out and met Dean Richards before a game and presented him with his trophy.
Yeah, that's right. I think Mick had photographs of that, actually. I've seen a few of them. I thought that was around 98, I think, around the late 90s.
I'm really not sure, to be honest.
But you mentioned players earlier on, Dugan and Richards and that, but I'll put you on the spot and name one player that would have been your absolute favourite player, Wolves player.
Well, you see, I that was one of the notes I took, because there would have been a few of them from different eras.
Yeah.
But certainly, head and shoulders above everybody was King John Richards.
Yeah.
You know, and a lovely guy to meet and sit down and chat away to and all the rest of it. A really nice fella. I mean, most of them in that era we've met were. My favourite player of the team that I was watching in the 90s would have been Geoff Thomas.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is that when he was fit, which wasn't a lot of the time, he played brilliantly for the team. Yeah. He was a fabulous player, but you just didn't see enough of him. And I mean, obviously I like Steve Bull, but he was there all the time. But when Geoff Thomas was fit and he was playing, he was a fabulous player.
Yeah.
I also had the fortune to meet Bill Slater as well from the 50s side.
Jeez.
And I chatted away to him. And he was the last amateur to play for England, I believe. Yeah. He didn't get paid the whole time he was playing for Wolves.
No.
Because he was an amateur.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
And he was an absolute old-fashioned gentleman. Like, a really lovely guy.
I can imagine, yeah.
So, I mean, there's different eras of different teams that I would have enjoyed meeting. But definitely King John, definitely. And after that, it would be Geoff Thomas and Bill Slater. I enjoyed meeting them too.
Yeah.
You know, watching Geoff Thomas play.
Yeah. And would you have a favourite opposition or away ground that you'd like, you know, do you like to visit, or a favourite opposition you'd like to see us playing and beating, obviously?
That's an interesting question all the same. Because we've beaten a lot of teams, but I would love to see us play in Europe and beat some of the bigger teams. Like John Richards talks on his podcast about playing Juventus and beating them.
Yeah.
You know, and to see something like that, to see the team play a top-notch team in Europe and beat them, that's what I'd love to see.
Yeah.
You know, because we've beaten the Man Cities, the Liverpools, the Man United. So that Everest, if you like, has been climbed. But to see them beat a really big side in Europe would be fabulous.
Would you have settled, if we'd beaten Seville last year in the Europa, would you have settled for beating United in the semi, yeah?
No.
Well, that would have
It'd be nice to beat a decent German, Italian, Spanish, or French side.
Well, hopefully we'll in the next couple of years, we'll get back on the European trail again.
Well, there you have it. Going back to it, you were just something... sorry if I'm...
No.
Brilliant your questions, but you were talking about becoming a Wolves fan, you know?
Yeah.
And that was entertaining in itself, because growing up in the 70s, where you had Don Revie's Leeds winning all in front of them.
Yeah.
Like, I remember fellas actually coming over to me, "You support Wolves? Why do you support Wolves?"
Yeah.
And I'm in the Swiss cottage one night, and a guy comes over to me and he says, "Saw the Wolves top on, you know?"
Yeah.
He says, "You support Wolves?" Yeah. And he says, "Why do you support Wolves?" I said, and I explained Dugan and Richards and the team that I fell in love with.
Yeah.
And the fact that I'd maintained my interest over the years, you know. And then he turns around and he says, "But I don't understand." He says, "They never win anything."
Yeah.
He says, "They win nothing." And I says, "You don't mind me asking, why do you support the Republic of Ireland football team? You might as well support Brazil. They win things as well."
Yeah. Good comeback, actually. Yeah.
And another time I bumped into a guy who was the secretary of the Arsenal Supporters Club, you know?
Yeah.
This is a funny anecdotal thing.
Yeah.
So he was ripping the piss out of me about being a Wolves fan, you know?
Yeah.
I said, "That's no way to go on," I said, "considering we nurtured you and got you going." He says, "What do you mean?" I says, "Do you know how Arsenal were formed?" He says, "Okay." And he's very guarded, you see?
Yeah.
And I said, "Some ex-Wolves footballers went down to work in the Royal Arsenal Foundry to get work."
Yeah.
And I said, "They suggested starting a football team." He says, "Ah, I don't believe that." I says, "Well, read up on it."
Yeah.
The next time I bump into him, "Did you read that?" "You're right."
That was the end of that. Yeah. But it's it's amazing how Leeds always... Anyone that was that kind of... started playing or supporting football in the late 60s or 70s, Leeds are always kind of, because most, I mean, I know most of the lads around my age that support teams, because they're all, you know, Leeds will be the probably 80% of them would support Leeds, you know. So it was a choice. I think I made the right one anyway, going for Wolves.
It was frustrating over the years, the fact that they didn't get, they were the Man United of the Championship in terms of their draw and all the rest of it, that they didn't do better in terms of getting promoted and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
But it shows what real supporters we all were, and you are for that matter, that stuck with them.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it people don't seem to really...
Otherwise, you could have ended up supporting Brazil internationally, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But the... it's only a matter of 5-6 years ago we were in League One, you know, and that's the sort of thing you're you know what I mean. You know, United supporters have had to live for the last 10 years nine years without winning the league, you know, winning the Premier League. We're looking back 6 years ago, we were in League One, and the struggle to get back up, you know, and here we are 3 seasons in the Premier League, and people are getting itchy now.
What a fabulous job what's his name? It was he just left Portsmouth.
Kenny Jaggett.
Yeah, he did a superb job there. He really did. Wasn't an easy job he was presented with either.
He really steadied the ship. We met him in Cork actually about 5 years ago. Actually, I think it was the last time we saw Ernie. It was a good old, we were down there, the pre-season was down in Cork, I think it was 2015, I think. And we went down and we met him, beautiful sunny day down on Fota Island, brilliant. And like he met us all after training and he's very kind of humble, very down to earth sort of man, you know. As you say, he did a great job, but kind of easily forgotten by a lot of people when you see where we are now.
I think if we're talking about people who get forgotten, our previous owner, Steve
Morgan,
I thought he did a fantastic job there.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. And not a lot of people recognise this, and I've been on a few Wolves boards and putting in comments. And stuff,
you know? Brave man.
and the thing about it is, if he hadn't managed the club financially as effectively as he did, we had no debt.
Yeah.
And that was what Fosun would have been looking at.
Yeah.
Because we would have been ideal. We had a huge level of support, latent support in England.
Yeah.
Particularly around the Wolverhampton area, obviously. You have the London Wolves and Scandinavian Wolves and ourselves.
Yeah.
But Steve Morgan ran that club perfectly like a business.
Yeah.
So Fosun going in, saw no debt, saw massive support and potential for the club.
Yeah.
Now, if Steve Morgan had ran the club by piling up debt, we wouldn't be talking about Premiership football now.
No. But he made the club attractive. He did have all his critics, you know, at the time that he wasn't spending the money that he should have been spending. But, you know, I mean, as you say, the club was on a solid footing. I mean, Folsom could have looked at any number of clubs, but from a marketing perspective, the badge, the potential they saw around the stadium, around the Wolverhampton area itself, and for the price they were getting it, they probably landed on their feet.
The name Wolves would have been attractive from selling shirts in China and so on, like, as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, oh, they were. Yeah, they were. It's good to see, and they're doing okay. Your hands are tied these days. You can't just come in, and a lot of fans, I don't think, still can understand that with financial fair play, you can't just come in and spend 200 million buying players. You have to, it's all based on your income, and your expenditure is based on how much you take in. That, you know, so.
And your sponsorship deals.
Yeah.
Manchester City.
Yeah, well, with all sorts of sponsorship deals. There's clubs selling their stadiums and renting them back from themselves and all, you know. So they're fairly close to Wolverhampton, so but we won't mention their name.
Are you serious? I didn't hear that one.
Villa, lad. They sold their stadium there. I think the owners bought the stadium and they now rent it or whatever. You know, that was kind of.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, that was a couple of years ago, yeah. You don't know what's going on half the time, I think. We're probably better off as well.
You had a question there, Wolves' memory to forget.
Yeah.
The playoff against Bolt when David Kelly got clocked by John McGinley.
John McGinley, yeah. Were you at that game?
Get over that. And a more one-sided game in the first leg of that playoff. And they had Chilton in.
Yeah,
in goal, like, and he played a blinder for the day, but you know it. That was really, really disappointing.
Yeah,
and the fact that McGinley got away with it as well. Like,
and then
the other playoff game against Crystal Palace, and I remember going to see that one. All right, the game at Molineux. This ties into another one of your questions, actually. Your favorite memorabilia. I got a picture taken with Stan Cullis, would you be?
Yeah. Gee. When was that?
He was walking out the front after the game. He was walking out the front, and his son, I think, was a vicar or something. And the two of them were helping him out. And somebody said to me, "That's Stan Cullis." And I said, "Jesus, I'm getting over there." And I said, "Look, I know he's an elderly man, but is there any chance of getting a photograph taken with your father?" "Yeah, no problem."
Yeah.
The picture taken with him.
When was it?
After the playoff game against Crystal Palace. I can't remember what year. You could look it up.
Yeah.
I'm not being smart, but I got my picture taken with Stan Cullis.
That's a treasure.
All the stories going on around him. Like, I remember looking at a television program and they were interviewing Bobby Charlton. Yeah. And he mentioned Stan Cullis.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the fact that he was sitting as a substitute on the bench, and the Wolves were losing a game or something like this, and Stan Cullis turned round at his substitute bench, and he says, "Listen, son," he said, "they're bad enough, you couldn't even get out there."
We love that one.
Just
already,
the whole winning mentality, you know. He starts giving out your man on the bench because he didn't have a serious enough expression on his face, like, you know. He referred to him, and all the stories you heard about Stan Cullis over the years. It was just delightful, like, to actually come across
to meet him. Yeah, I'd say there aren't many people have a photograph like that now to treasure.
Yeah, no, it was completely accidental. I was just in the right place at the right time, you know.
Yeah.
And he also got a picture taken, believe it or not, with Ferguson.
Yeah.
On seeing Darren playing, I was standing there, and my camera was flat. So I had to mess around trying to find spare batteries to put in the camera.
Yeah.
You see, some people came over trying to talk to Ferguson, and he said, "No," he said, "stop there." He said, "This lad asked me for a photograph."
Yeah.
And he stood there until I found the batteries in a pocket, put them in, got a picture taken with him. Very professional, very affable, very decent. And I love slagging Man United supporters.
Yeah.
You support Man U. Do you ever get a picture taken? It's all about having the pace and having the banter and having the crack, like, with lads,
it is,
and all this kind of thing, you know.
So we're near the end of our time slot anyway. Damien.
Oh, I didn't notice the time going.
Just looking here, we're into overtime. You're not getting paid for it.
Another memory,
you fly one. You fly all the memories you want.
It just feeds back into the whole ethos of being a Wolves supporter. What we also did, and maybe you might want to consider it yourselves at some stage, is if there was we went down and met the West Brom supporters club, and we all sat down and watched a game together.
Yeah, West Brom Wolves game.
Genuinely.
Yeah.
And we beat them 4-1. I think it was 4-1 or 4-2 or something.
Yeah.
But right at the end, what's his name? Bob Taylor gets a goal, you see.
Yeah.
And to be fair, it was the best taken goal of the game, you know. And one of them stood up and he says, "You won't see a better goal than that," and waving the hand. And I just turned around and I stood up and looked at him and I said, "Nah, we're more into quantity yourselves."
Yeah,
that's what I mean, like, the buzz and the crack of actually being a Wolverhampton Wanderers supporter, and the fun times you had and all the rest of it, you know. And my favourite game was Bully running onto a through ball right at the end. It was 1-1 against Birmingham.
Yeah.
Ball over the top.
Yeah.
Bully runs onto it, gets a goal at the last minute.
Yeah.
And the fucking joy and the rapture of the moment, like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you ever looked. You might have been there yourself, or whether you looked at it on YouTube or something. It's up there somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's one of the famous. It's one of the most looked at, I'd say. And I was watching it there a couple of months ago. And it's fantastic. And you know, he's
but
fun
actually
player.
Being in the ground and him waving like this, you know, we all just erupted. Like, that was one of the games we actually all went to see.
Was it? Yeah. Well, that must have been a good day, all right. Anyway, Damien, thanks a million for that, and we'll talk again soon. Okay.
Grand.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website, or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.